You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing triple threat style this afternoon. Cody Saftick's going to join us. UFC Fight Night 93, the National Football League regular season and college season's upon us, but doesn't mean the UFC has closed its doors. Fast and Furious, man, there's been cards on a weekly basis. We have another one. They go to Germany this weekend. We break it down with Cody Saftick. DraftKings has just released the salaries. Earlier this morning, there was no salaries released. They just released the salaries, so we'll give you the first taste of what's going on in Germany this week. UFC Fight Night 93, Cody Saftick, bookie beatdown, joins me. Always a pleasure going to school when the professor is Dave Malinsky. Dave Malinsky will join me straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we will be later in the week. College football, officially week one. We had a couple of kickoff games. For the record, two college football games. The underdogs are 2-0 against the spread so far. But we're going to begin our college football kickoff on the program today. We've been breaking down the conferences all summer long. It'll be the first time today. We specifically talk some games. That's right. There's games, man, right around the corner. Who better to break it down than Dave Malinsky, the professor straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We got baseball on the board. Mike Cardano's got some baseball picks for us. Cardano wants to talk some college football. He wants to talk about the running back position. We're going to talk about the most valuable player in the National League and the American League. National League, it's Chris Bryant, minus 225 right now. Cash it. That's set in stone. The American League sort of up in the air, and there might be a couple of live dogs on the board. Now, speaking of dogs, not the cute kind, not the cool type of dogs, and not the type of dogs that we bet on, you know, like the other type of dogs, Ryan Lochte. All right, we talked about Ryan Lochte a couple of weeks ago. We didn't have a choice, but Ryan Lochte's back in the news once again. As you know, football fans aren't the only people that are excited right now. Everybody's excited. Ooh, a new season of the Kardashians coming back. You know, September is like, you know, the fall television season. Everybody's excited for that new TV guide, what's coming up, new shows. But it's really the shows already out there. House of Cards, very popular. I've never watched House of Cards, even though I'm a political junkie. I got to sit down and watch that show sometime. But I find Kevin Spacey to be kind of arrogant and annoying somehow. Dude's like a great actor, but it just oozes, like, look at me. So I don't look at him. big fan of Homeland, The Walking Dead, although I didn't like how The Walking Dead left us hanging. That sucked, man. I'll give you a chance. But, yeah, it's Sunday night. Football's going to be back. Looking forward to the return of Homeland. Homeland, great show. Probably the best show on TV. Incredibly realistic, Homeland. And it's actually going to be set in Washington, D.C. This year. Around the U.S. election. Something tells me that a Secretary of State is probably going to be acting all corrupt and evil and devious in this upcoming Homeland season. And oh yeah, Dancing with the Stars, great. Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars pretty much represents everything that's wrong with society as we know it. A vapid, shallow television show, really broadcast for middle-aged, like, housewives that are unhappy with their fat-ass loser husbands, you know, to fantasize about, you know, dancing with Sergio, doing the tango and the groove and everything else that comes along with it. But I'm not going to criticize that Dancing with the Stars all that much. Or, well, I'm going to criticize Dancing with the Stars. I'm not going to criticize you for watching Dancing with the Stars, all right? I watch a lot of crap, but we'll get to that. But, you know, they got quite the A-listers this year. Who do they have? They got former Texas Governor Rick Perry. Guy pops pills like they're Tic Tacs. This guy couldn't remember his three freaking policies at a presidential debate. He's going to remember a bunch of steps. All right, Rick, that's one step. That's one. He is from Texas, after all. Like, really? Rick Perry? Like, I want to watch Rick Perry dance? If I want to watch somebody dance, I'll go to a strip club, all right? I'm not going to watch Dancing with the Stars, even if you have Vanilla Ice. Ooh, how'd you get him? How'd you get Vanilla Ice? Is there a reality show that Vanilla Ice hasn't been on? I mean, hell, this is like the only show, and I think I've even had Vanilla Ice on. So I don't want to rip him too much. He's all right, actually. He's a pretty good home renovator, too. That'd be a show. Vanilla Ice renovates Morenci's condo. We just sit around, smoke weed, and like smack hammers and nails and stuff. Hey, you done there, Ice? Hey, how about another beer, Ice? Be a great time hanging out with Vanilla Ice. I picture Vanilla Ice like You know, sort of like, you know, Futurama. You know, like his head's going to be in a jar in like 300 years, and he's going to be on like the future celebrity show. And, you know, 250 years ago, Vanilla Ice. And of course, he got Ryan Lochte. Oh, really? Ryan Lochte. So, you know, like, I don't, am I missing? He's a fugitive. He's actually wanted right now. Julian Assange is holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy right now. He's a fugitive. Ryan Lochte is a fugitive. He's a wanted man in Brazil. But I guess, you know what, let's piss on Brazil. Ryan Lochte already did. You know, in any country, I know, you know, oh, Brazil, it doesn't matter what they think. Oh, ha, 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 there's an arrest warrant for him. You know, filing a fake police report and accusing people of robbing you when it never happened, when you were the wasted one, you know, defecating, urinating, and ripping down private property, you know, it's a big difference. Like, he's wanted. That is a crime. You can't file a fake police report. He's wanted. So at the very least, so he lost a $50,000 Speedo gig. At the very least, you figure he'd be ostracized for a couple of months. But no, I called this. I told people weeks ago he's going to be on a reality TV show next to Cato Kalin and all the other losers from the trash bin of society. And I didn't think it would be this freaking instant. Here he is, Ryan Lochte. Good job, like seriously. So I guess if you disgrace America, you embarrass America, you disgrace your fellow Olympians, you file a fake police report, you lie about it on television repeatedly, break down in fake ass tears about it, and you get rewarded by going on Dancing with the Stars. Let me ask you, what's more insulting to America? The way that Ryan Lochte acted in a foreign country, or Colin Kaepernick not standing up for the national anthem? I don't think Colin Kaepernick's going to be getting an invite to Dancing with the Stars anytime soon. But don't worry, Colin. You don't want it, because there's nothing but sleazeballs on this show anyways. But Calvin Johnson's on the show. Calvin Johnson. Seriously, dude? Like, really? He'll probably win. I won't watch it, but I'll bet it. Calvin Johnson will win Dancing with the Stars. I said it right now. You know, Calvin Johnson, he's a class act. He's a good guy. He is a star. He shouldn't be on this show. You should have like a separate show for like class acts like Calvin Johnson, Dancing with the Stars, and then a secondary show, Dancing with the Dingbats. And, you know, like basically you have Ryan Lochte. Hey, David Duke's in the news recently. Yeah, how about some KKK rap on Dancing with the Stars? Let's get David Duke in there. Anthony Weiner's always willing to flash his junk. Imagine Anthony grinding up against the dancers. You'll love it. You'll love it. You want Olympians? How about we get Tonya Harding? Remember the girl at La Amber? She hired someone to smash Nancy Kerrigan's kneecap with a crowbar? Dancing with the Dingbats, coming up after Dancing with the Stars. You know what? You can't get much worse now, can you? You already have Ryan Lochte, but as I stated earlier, who the hell am I to criticize anybody for Dancing with the Stars? I watch Wolf Blitzer and CNN. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. I don't know if like most hosts like have to deal with cameramen that like take pot shots at the host like right before we come back. In between the break, I was talking about the Montreal Expos with a man that's about to join us right now. And I said it went from 3 million fans to 3,000. And Drew Livingston here is like, well, it's because they sucked. It's like really? Like, if I had a brick, I'd throw it at you right now. Let's bring in Mike Cardano. You see what I got to deal with Mike here? It's unbelievable. I'm waxing poetic about the Expos. Camera number three over here. It's because they suck. They don't even exist anymore, and he's saying they suck.
The kids aren't old enough to remember the strike-shortened season.
No. And, you know, what about like the late 70s with the, you know, with the Hawk, Andre Dawson, Alice Valentine, Warren Cromartie, Tim Raines, Rod LaFleur, Ross Grimsley, Steve Rogers. We can go down the list. The Expos were perennial all-stars. They maybe one of the best teams ever, sort of, that organization. Never to win, Mike.
Well, the scouting system was the real talent there. Whoever was picking the players, they just couldn't keep people.
No, I know. But I remember, like, even as a kid, like, it was always, you know, like, even Sports Illustrated and Inside Sports. Remember Inside Sport, an old school magazine. you know, it was always the Expos, the best team never to win a championship. This is their year. This is their year. Problem is, they played in a division with Steve Carlton. And Steve Carlton was a pretty good pitcher, Mike.
Yeah, lefty.
Yeah, it sucked, man. My memories of a kid is just like a Steve Carlton beating us all the time, like September 30th. I remember once there was like the last game, and you know, Mike Schmidt, of all people, of course, hit a home run in like the ninth inning. Mike, it was brutal. We had Blue Monday, but anyway, I don't want to. Thanks, Drew, for bringing all this up. So let's talk some football. College football, the season started with Hawaii and Cal down under. North Dakota State were lucky to dodge a bullet this past weekend as 20-point underdogs. But college football is really starting this week. And we're on the same page here, Mike, because you sent me some topics that you wanted to hit on. And you said you wanted to talk about all these great running backs that are in college. And all these guys, I see like six guys are going to be in the NFL next year that could be impact players in the National Football League. And it's funny, I said the same thing about a month ago when breaking down the Heisman Trophy odds. I said, you know, for all the talk of these running backs being finished, you look at Elliott right now. I think, you know, and I've always said running back is still a damn important team. Maybe fantasy guys don't love running backs, but coaches still do, Mike.
Yeah, listen, everyone has been mesmerized the last couple of years, you know, by the high-flying spread offenses, right, and the passing attacks. But this year, I really believe it's going to be about some of these running backs. It's a fascinating group of running backs here. A lot of them are playing in some pro-style offenses that have come back, and we haven't seen something like this in quite a while. There's four or five of them here that are really going to make an impact on the NFL.
Well, let's run through some of them. Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette could be, you know, Todd Gurley right now if he decided to come out. I'm surprised, actually, he's hung around as long as he has, Fournette. Real beast, monster. You know, special player. And, you know, because of how good he is, I think Dalvin Cook as well. Dalvin Cook just runs like an NFL back already. He has that sort of it factor about him. He knows how to cut. He understands how to, he's patient. He knows how to, you know, read the blocks and the line and wait for them. Nick Chubb, talking about Todd Gurley, that's an RB factory. Nick Chubb's another one that could be a damn good running back in the NFL, Mike.
Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned Cook. He's 8 yards anytime he touches the ball, right? Which is pretty remarkable. Now, Chubb, he rushed for 120 yards, I think 5 straight games before he got hurt. He's got no pitch count coming into this year. He's going to play the opener against North Carolina. He's going to be fine. Leonard Fournette, you know, I know people know Adrian Peterson, who he is, and the fanfare he came into the league with. But if you're old enough to remember the Bo Jacksons, the Herschel Walkers, the Eric Dickersons, this is the type of back, this is the type of coverage that he's getting. How about Christian McCaffrey last year, who I thought should have won the Heisman Trophy. I don't think it should have went to Derrick Henry, but he's all over the place. Royce Freeman in Oregon, he may be the most underrated running back in the nation. 1,838 yards last year, 17 touchdowns as a sophomore. And the Oklahoma back,
P. Ryan.
Yeah,
this kid ran for like 400 yards in a game once, Mike. He set the NCAA record. Unfortunately for him, it got broke like an hour later, I think.
yeah, I think it was 427 yards or something like that. So there's a handful of backs. So you're going to see the ball on the ground in some of these pro-style offenses this year, which to me, you know, listen, I'm old school. I love it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You're right. And from an NFL standpoint, I think we'll see. Out of these guys, we're talking about first and second round picks, Mike, next year. You know, none of these guys, they're just all too good. And all the talk of running, well, you know, you don't want to take a running back too early. I'm telling you, man, GMs are going to be looking and going, Leonard Fournette, I can get Leonard Fournette with the 6th pick of the draft, I'm taking him. I can get Dalvin Cook with the 13th pick of the draft, I'm taking him. P. Ryan's there, you know, P. Ryan's there at 28, I'm taking him. The GMs will step up at the draft. All right, so you know, we got a ton of topics to get to. So let's talk some baseball. Let's talk about the MVP races here. Mike Trout's awesome, obviously. Socha was talking about, even, you know, as his manager says, you got to be on a good team. We're just not good enough. And the odds makers agree, actually, as great as Trout is, you know, he's not in the running right now. It's amazing. 40-1 at some spots if you want to pull the trigger on Trout. Mookie Betts is favored at -125. Altuve is +160. Robinson Cano is +500. And Josh Donaldson is 8-1 at +800. I think Josh Donaldson presents the best value on the board here, Mike.
He's making a push, you know. You know, I don't know about Mike Trout, though. You can't, it's happened before. Remember Andre Dawson? All right, so maybe I'm going too far back. But Harper last year, his team didn't win.
Yep.
He won the MVP. If you're looking at war, it's Trout, Donaldson, Jose Altuve, Betts, Machado. Those are the guys. I personally like Altuve. I always go for the little guy. I think Donaldson's probably going to get it. Maybe Betts. The most underrated guy there may be Machado. Absolutely nobody talks about this guy, and he's fantastic.
No, you're right. Machado's going to be a very rich man. He's a free agent the same time Harper is. Like you said, no one's really talking about that. But you know what? I think this is pretty much, it's an election. This is what this is, in that it plays itself out. Altuve's right there. Now, Altuve's a stud, and we know what he's doing. But between Betts and Josh Donaldson, it's who wins the division. You know, same with Manny Machado. That's going to be Machado's problem. And Machado right now, Baltimore's starting to fade a little bit, in my opinion. They could be in some trouble. Boston
big game
and Toronto.
Tonight. Big game tonight.
Yeah, big game, big series, exactly. They're playing each other a hell of a lot, all these teams in the East, down the stretch here. But I think, you know, I think the Jays are going to win the division. And I think Donaldson is going to continue to light it up. It seems like every third at bat, the guy's hitting a home run. The only person hitting more home runs right now than Donaldson is the kid Sanchez. Yeah.
What is Altuve's number? I think he's got a shot.
Plus 160. Plus 160.
If they make the playoffs, and listen, at his batting average, he's close to .355. With his stolen bases, he's well over 20 home runs. I think he's got 22 home runs. He's going to have well over 100 runs scored. I think he's at 93, 26 stolen bases. I think he's got the goods to get it done. He's got to make the playoffs, though. His team has to make the playoffs.
You mentioned Trout's war. I just want to bring this up. You and I are old-timers, but we're not this old. And that, you know, nobody's had the best war in Major League Baseball 5 years in a row since Babe Ruth.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they went back in time, so applying his numbers. Babe Ruth, 1926 to 1931, five consecutive years, the best war in baseball. And before that, Walter Johnson in 1912 to 1916. Other than that, it's never happened before. That's the type of company that Trout is in. All right, National League. Yeah, did you think your boy Daniel Murphy would have this good of a year? Hard to believe he's the second choice at +140.
You know, I thought he was going to hit for a little more power. I didn't think he was going to hit for this much power. He's the .345 batting average. There's effectively no Bryce Harper there with the stats he's been putting up. He's really been carrying things. So, I don't think he has a shot, though, with the numbers that Chris Bryant is putting up. And the guy I would choose, if the Dodgers make it, is Corey Seager. I know he's going to win the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
But to me, if the Dodgers make it without Kershaw for this long and at that shortstop position, he's got to get the award.
Well, you know what, Mike? It looks like you and I were right and we were wrong in the sense in that we were correct that Don Mattingly was not the right guy for this Los Angeles Dodger team. Because I'm talking about Manager of the Year right now. You just brought up Rookie of the Year. How the hell is the Dodgers are where they are? Really, if Don Mattingly's there, there's no way this happens right now. It's amazing, like how they retool
the
pitching staff.
The number of people on the DL has been astonishing.
No,
it really is.
They might win a division. If they win a division, is Bip Roberts not the manager of the year?
Hands down. Just because of the – listen, he may be the manager of the year if they finish a close second. With the number, it's like a world record. I don't know what the record is.
You're right.
But the number of people on the DL, it's crazy.
No, you're right. I know. I saw that too. It's actually a Major League Baseball record. They've missed them. It's an all-time record. They missed the most games. But it's amazing. You know, and you brought up Seager. You know, Seager, I don't think the media will do him that much, that they'll give him both. I actually had a guy on that votes, a Major League Baseball guy that votes. And he told me that, you know, the way they don't vote for all the awards. Some of them get, like, you know, Rookie of the Year. Some of them get the MVP. Some of them, so they spread it out. But you know, Chris Bryant's minus 225, Mike. You know, hard to bet against Chris Bryant, isn't it?
Well, with the season the Cubs are having and just the counting numbers that he's putting up, 35 home runs, 109 RBIs, he's batting over 300, and he's playing multiple positions as well. So yeah. He's the highest WAR. He's actually got a WAR of 7.6. Trout was 7.5. He's actually got the highest WAR in baseball.
No, yeah, you're right. He's right there. All right. Yeah, his numbers are pretty much identical. You're right to Trout, the WAR numbers. All right, so let's blast through some picks. We've only got a couple of minutes. You've got three picks selected. You're willing to lay the number. You're going to lay the lumber once again. You did last week. It was successful. The Washington Nationals, minus 220 favorites in Philadelphia. Max Scherzer on the hill.
Yeah, I don't see how you don't take it. I did it last week with Arrieta at minus 270. I'm going to do it here again. And you got to lay the money out, but in the end, you're going to pad your account.
You know what? Scherzer's 5-1 with a 2.36 earned run average his last nine starts, 2-0 this year, and 6-1 in his career against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Gabe, real quick, you mentioned something last time about people who frown upon laying out this kind of money, but you said it for the amount of time. You're out the money for 3 hours and you make the return. It's not the same. It's different. You know, for a 3-hour period of time that you're out the money, it's a fantastic return.
You know what? I don't have a problem with it. I do it in football, and I use the stock market. And you're a Wall Street guy. I use the stock market, Clay. And people are like, you're laying 270 on the money line with Oklahoma? I tell them stock market guys would kill for this dividend in 3 hours. Imagine, Mike, you tell the guy, I'm going to return your money 50%. We're going to double your money. Come back in 3 hours. You'd be the most popular trader on the block.
Absolutely.
You know, exactly. It's funny, the perception and the reality of everything. Yep. All right, Jays and Orioles. Jays are hot, man. I'm willing to lay the juice tonight with the Jays and Jay Happ.
I was wrong about Happ all year. At this point, I'm not going to go against him. I think Toronto's hot and Baltimore's not. It's just the way I perceive things. The other thing is Toronto loves to hit against pitchers with pace. Ubaldo Jimenez still pitches as if he does have pace. I don't know what his raw numbers are. He's still trying to get guys out with hard stuff, though. It's not working for him. But Toronto does splendid against those type of guys. I'll take Toronto. I had him at minus 150.
And finally, in closing, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, the New York Metropolitans aren't dead yet, Mike. There's still some life in them. They're catching a fire at the right time right now. A big win last night. I like them tonight. I'm going to take a shot with Lugo. What's your take on this game?
I went with the over here in this game. You know, Lugo walks way too many guys, 8.7 guys for nine innings and five minor league innings seasons. He's not doing any better this year at the major league level. That's too many guys to put on base. Tom Kohler doesn't strike anybody out, 6.8 batters per nine his career. That's the Mets' worst issue, is striking out and leaving people on base. I think this will be a high-scoring game tonight. I'm taking the over 8.
Mike Cardano with us, Roto Expert, Fantasy Sports Network's very own. It's always a pleasure, Mike. The countdown is on. Syracuse and Notre Dame. We'll see you. We'll see you October 1st.
Be a great time.
There's Mike Cardano with us. We take a quick break. We got Dave Malinsky. We're going to talk some college football, some NFL football. We've got Cody Saftick. We're talking UFC. We're covering all the bases today. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. You know, I don't want to sound like a jerk, and I brought this up before because I tell people I'm going to Vegas this weekend, and they're like, "Oh, that's awesome, man! That's great!" And like, you know, and I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And I tell them, "It's business. It's not like I really, I've been there, I've lived there, and I wish it was like Star Trek. I could just beam myself there and beam myself back." Life would be a little bit easier, but I'm getting older right now. The travel beats me down. But now that the week is approaching and football is here, and now that I know I'm going to talk to a man that's in Las Vegas, I'm getting fired up and excited, and hopefully he's got a couple of minutes for me in Las Vegas, Nevada, as I do have to go to the LV Westgate for the Super Contest, try to follow up last year's eighth place finish. Dave Malinsky joins us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing, Dave?
Well, as long as I'm not having to post bail, I'm looking forward to seeing you. You know, we always do have to have that one little asterisk in there.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx myself and state that I haven't been to Clark County before. I will state, actually, a couple of trips ago, I probably came as close as I did. It was basically, you know, I did get a talking to from some of Las Vegas' finest and told, I better chill out. So I learned my lesson.
Remember, it takes effort here, though. You know, some things that could get you in a lot of trouble in Toronto, you got to go far beyond that here. It takes effort to get into trouble in a Vegas weekend.
I know. That's when you know you're trouble. Because normally security, normally police aren't involved, actually. It's just security. But, yeah, you know when the cops are showing up to the casino because of you, that, you've upset somebody along the way. But we're just kidding. It's all good. I told you, Dave, the only place in Vegas I've ever been 86 from was the Riviera, and that place has been smashed to pieces.
So now we know who won that. You know, you outlasted the Riv. You showed them who's boss.
I really did. And you know what? Circus made a lot of money off of me because I checked out. I was like, I'm going to move in. I'm going to check in across the street. But anyways, we'll have more Vegas tales next week, I'm sure. So let's talk some football, Dave. Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, your take, is the sky falling? I think in the long run, it's a good thing for them. You know, sometimes change in our lives needs to be forced upon us. And they went from sort of an older football team centered around Witten, Romo, and Dez Bryant to a young team with Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. You know, they went from 4.5-point favorites to a pick 'em. Yet it looks like some of the market, Dave, isn't shying away from Dak, because now I see the Pokes are 1-point favorites in this game. What's your take on the game and the Cowboys with Prescott?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dallas end up as the favorite. I don't expect the preseason Prescott, because there were a lot of vanilla defenses thrown at him, so he looked good. But he does have the tools, and one of the things that really matters in terms of development, 3 full seasons of being a starting quarterback in the SEC West. That means he's up against the Alabama defense, LSU defense, Mississippi defense, you know, against a bunch of NFL-type athletes every year. So the speed of the game and the athleticism won't be as far beyond him as it is for a lot of rookie quarterbacks. But also, what a place to be a rookie quarterback. That take the quarterback position away, just go line up the other 10 offensive starters. Dallas is as good as anybody. It's the best offensive line. They're very deep at running back. You get Bryant, Witten, a lot of good veteran receivers who can help a rookie quarterback to come along.
Yep.
That's not a bad place to be a rookie.
No, he's in a great situation. He really is. And he's a smart kid, too. Last week we talked about Jameis Winston's IQ. But Dak Prescott was saying there's not a play that any team in any interview showed him that he didn't know. And he feels as though he said, I'm the most prepared and smartest guy in this quarterback draft.
Yeah, I note that this is not put on his shoulder. Like if Jared Goff were to start for the Rams, the offense is on his shoulders. If Wentz were to step in and start, the offense is on his shoulders. This offense is not on his shoulders. They can run a lot of things where all Prescott has to do is manage the game. So I think it's not a bad setup for them. And his physical prototype isn't that much different from Romo anyway. Maybe, you know, obviously stronger and more mobile now, but he can make the throws that Romo was making. This could work out well for the Cowboys.
Dave, I lost a significant play on the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl against the Denver Broncos, as you know, as you and I went to lunch before the Super Bowl. You know, I've been looking forward to getting it back in this football game. Trevor Siemian has been named the starter. Panthers are 3-point favorites. Doesn't seem to be moving. Seems to be sort of locked in at 3 right now. Carolina's looked terrible in the preseason. Cam Newton's looked terrible. You know, what do you make of that? Is that anything, or do you think they just sort of have this game circled? What's your early impression of this contest?
I made nothing out of the Carolina preseason. There are a few teams with the roster better set than there, so they didn't really have a need to do much of anything. And because they expect to play in February, there was even lesser reason to go hard physically. You want to be out there pacing yourself. Admittedly, I don't know a lot about Trevor Siemian because he only started, 14 games at Northwestern, and he didn't show all that much upside there. There could be some deer in the headlights aspects of this. I am prepared to lay Carolina -3 here. You know, I believe they are that much better than the Broncos. Keep in mind that, you know, even in the Super Bowl, they closed the 4.5-point favorite. In the AFC title game, New England closed a 3-point favorite here. It's not that they're dropping Denver. This is where Denver was projected at the end of last season anyway. So Carolina is tempting.
Kansas City Chiefs. So speaking of Denver, they put Simeon in there. And as you said, we really don't know what to expect. I think he'll make some plays, but, you know, like he made plays, he was 10 for 11. You know, but that 11 was a pick six. So, and as you stated, teams are going to try to confuse him. And there's a couple of good defenses. You know, Carolina's a hell of a defense that he's going to see first. And they're going to try to confuse this kid. But, you know, with Simeon there, does this open up the door for the Chiefs? There's a lot of Kansas City Chief hype that they can win this division. Chiefs are the second choice. Broncos plus 175. Chiefs are plus 190. And the Chiefs are laying 7 in the first game against San Diego. And I tell you, over the years, I think I've taken the Chargers every year for the last 8 years, plus 7 at Kansas City, Dave. Same line every year.
Well, I tell you, if you want to extend, though, that AFC West out one step for the real value, how about the Oakland Raiders? The Raiders are capable of winning that division this year. They may be the sleeper. You know, for all the talk about Derek Carr and the receivers and their development, it's the Oakland defense. It's got a chance to be interesting. Three new starters in the secondary, all three upgrades over the guys that started last year. And they've still got last year, except for Woodson, who retired, they've got last year's starters still there as backups anyway. Oakland is the interesting team in the AFC West.
Dave, you wrote yesterday at pregame.com in your daily column, Point Blank, it's right there on the front page, about Kansas City's defense, that, yeah, the defense is good. They've looked good in the preseason. You know, they were rock solid last year. But the offensive teams that they played last year were very weak, and it's going to be much more difficult for them. What's your quick take on the Chiefs?
It is one of those things. You always have to be careful with statistical analysis. I mean, last year, in back-to-back weeks, they got to see Jimmy Clausen and Johnny Manziel. How lucky is that? I mean, they got to see Peyton Manning twice, you know, who was at the bottom of the NFL barrel. They got to see Landry Jones instead of Ben Roethlisberger. It was a case of the defense being good, but that schedule also made it much easier for them.
All right, Dave, so let's talk some college football. I got three games here to throw at you, and it's amazing. I got flashbacks to the old days, Dave, where we just used to, like, you know, talk for like 40 minutes in this game, in this game, in this game. But, you know, we've only have so much time. So let's start off with a game that you already wrote about, actually, and Dak Prescott's former football club, their first game without Dak Prescott starting a quarterback in a long time, in 3 years, as you stated. And even as a freshman, Dak played in 12 games. So we got Mississippi State and Coach Dan Mullen, hell of a coach. They're laying 28 right now, Dave, so it's come down a little bit. It's an even 28. The total is 55. So they host the South Alabama Jaguars.
Well, let's talk about Dak Prescott, because the better that we see he is, that means the bigger the transition is going to be for Mississippi State. They just didn't lose a three-year starter. They lost the guy who was really, really good. So I think the offense struggles a little bit. Defense has lost three starters to suspension or injury over the last 2 weeks. That's difficult. But a sneaky little thing for South Alabama. Their defensive coordinator, youngest in the nation, Kane Womack. Who's his father? Dave Womack, who's been the defensive coordinator at Mississippi the last 4 years, state's biggest rival. And a couple of years ago, Kane was a grad assistant at Mississippi under his father. So don't you think that father and son have had quite a summer thinking, hey, Daddy, what's the best way we can game plan to slow down Mississippi State? And a good father is going to help him with this. Look, I go up against Dan Mullen's playbook every year. Here's what you can do to make this game closer. I think South Alabama hangs around for a while.
Yeah, it's like research opposition in politics, isn't it, Dave? As you stated, he's going to share the playbook with his kid, right? He's going to say, this is what Mullen runs. This is what Mullen doesn't like. Exactly. And I'm a little concerned with a quarterback position here with South Alabama, that if they get down, can they throw the ball enough? But what I do like is they got an experienced offensive line, Dave, and they got a couple of running backs that are capable of, you know, picking up first downs, you know, popping 4, 5, 6 yard runs and eating that clock. South Alabama can run the football a bit.
They can. And when you talk about eating the clock, that's a big part of when you take big underdogs. you want favorites that aren't going for the jugular. State isn't. They've got two SEC games immediately on deck after this. If Mullen's ahead by 20 in the fourth quarter, he's thrilled to just keep the clock ticking and get the game over with.
And we should note Dan Mullen, 3-7 against the spread when laying 20 or more points versus non-conference opponents. Oklahoma and Houston. I'm high on this Cougar team. Cashed a ticket last year against FSU in the Peach Bowl. Here we are once again, Dave. You briefly brought this game up. I can tell you what, Oklahoma's got quite the schedule, man, getting Ohio State, too, in a couple of weeks. But so they get Houston. I'm amazed by this number. I don't want to even say it because I don't like saying, oh, they got this way wrong, because I like it. I'm getting double digits, up to 11 right now. Game technically on a neutral field, but it's a neutral field in Houston, Texas, where the Texans play, basically about 8 minutes from the campus of the University of Houston. Oklahoma, I mean, I know they're hyped and they got a ton of talent back on the offensive side of the football, but 11 points, Dave, seems a little high, man.
It just depends on whether Houston has the physicality to last for 60 minutes. And that's one of the issues they face here. In their conference, it's finesse football. You know, it's almost like watching touch football at times. Now they're going to have to step up against probably the best 1-2 running back combination in the nation for Oklahoma, and Perrine and Mixon. I just have some hesitations about the Houston defense gassing out in the second half.
Yeah, will they be able to stop that run? I know. But with that being stated, Houston's offense can score on anybody.
And I'll tell you what, watch this over time. A lot of people wonder what happened to Ohio State last year. You know, you saw the offense in the championship the year before that just went through Alabama, just went through Oregon in the playoffs. They fell off the map last year. Why did that happen? Because Tom Herman is coaching Houston. And Tom Herman was really the genius behind the Ohio State offense in 2014. He is really, really good. And it helps that he's got Greg Ward, a quarterback so ideally suited for his playbook.
What do you make of the total at 68? Is it a little too high for the first game of the year? Expectations, you need a clean ride and near perfection for both offenses?
That is a problem. The odds makers, they've seen the money coming. They know that it looks high, or the flow looks good to a lot of the bettors. This is going to be an up and down the field. And, of course, if you're Oklahoma, you do want to get 80 plays. You want to rely on your depth to wear Houston down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this could be a game where the losing team could score 30.
And, you know, look at Cal and Hawaii, Dave. There was initial fear of taking the over. First game of the year, Jared Goff's gone. Davis Webb is in. You know, Hawaii, always that unknown certainty. But they were returning 9 starters. But then there was a late push to the over from 63 up to 67 at some spots and sailed over the number. We should note that. That game went over. 2 games, 2 underdogs have covered so far. All right, Dave, so you talk, we got about a minute and a half left here. You talk about, you know, styles and matchups we're looking at here when we bet college football. And Houston maybe not being physical enough in the trenches over 60 minutes, their linebackers and their D-line to keep up with the Sooners. Let's talk about a game on Friday night. I'm going to be in Vegas, and I'm going to be looking to build my bankroll. I'm looking at Kansas State getting 15.5 points against the Stanford Cardinal. Stanford Cardinal lost 3 offensive linemen. They lost their starting quarterback in Kevin Hogan. Yes, they still have McCaffrey, but conversely, I'm looking at a K-State team, Dave, last year that played a hell of a lot of kids. And yeah, they took it on the chin a couple of times, but they're all back. I'm hearing great things out of camp about this team. And we look at the matchup, they won't get bullied in the trenches all that much. They're not bigger than Stanford, but you know, their linebackers are deep. K-State's got a couple of real good D linemen. Stanford likes to push teams around. It's easier to push a Pac-12 team around than it's going to be K-State, in my opinion. I think the point spread's too high, Dave. What do you think?
Well, you get such a huge upgrade at quarterback for Kansas State with Jesse Ertz. He got hurt the opening possession last year. They just didn't have anybody behind him, so that's big for them. The concern late, and now this is a flip-flop of Mississippi State. At another time, Stanford could be up 20 in the fourth quarter, and they would just pull the starters off the field and be happy. But David Shaw believes Christian McCaffrey deserved the Heisman Trophy last year. This is the rare national TV opportunity with the nation watching this might be a case where if Stanford's up 17 or 20, McCaffrey's still on the field if they make this a showcase game. So it's a little bit different in the fourth quarter than it ordinarily might be.
Yeah, not to mention, Dave, there's a lot of disrespect about the Pac-12, and all the Pac-12 will probably be left out again this year in the Final Four. Stanford checking in at 8. And not to mention, they stumbled out of the gate last year against Northwestern, and you know that's going to come up day before the game, that we can't start our season like we did last year.
It certainly is, and also the fact that they don't play again for 15 days afterwards means that they're allowed to have their starters go hard the entire game. It's usually when I'm bucking a big favorite, I want a favorite that might back off late. Stanford doesn't really apply to that model.
Dave, we got to get out of here, but quickly on this, total's 47.5. People just think under. I don't know, is it too low? Can we get this over the number, 47.5, Stanford, K-State?
I think it's a good over. I said Ertz is a big upgrade at quarterback for Kansas State. And you know what? Kevin Hogan started for 4 years for Stanford, and he was never more than average the entire time. So it's not like they have less experience at quarterback, but they have better players at quarterback right now. Hogan was just average.
Yeah, Ryan Burns actually is pretty good, too. They like him. All right, Dave, we got to get out of here. Great stuff, as always, man. Hopefully we can hook up this weekend in Vegas. We encourage people to check out Dave's daily column over at pregame.com, point blank, right there on the front page. Dave, it's always a pleasure, sir.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
There's Dave Malinsky with us, man. It's great talking some college football, isn't it? Except he's got me all confused now about the games that I actually like. Yeah, I like your pick, Gabe, but Cody Saftick joins me next. All right, we're going to be so football heavy later in the week with college football games around the clock. I want to get some UFC fantasy talk in. And, of course, we'll be breaking it down from a gaming perspective on MMA Meltdown. But truth be told, there weren't any DraftKings salaries or numbers as recently about an hour ago. The numbers were just released right now. Hot off the presses, we got Cody Saftick, a bookie beatdown, Fantasy Sports Network, him and Paul Shag, and the Fight Network with us. We've got to be quick. We don't have that much time, so let's jump right in. They're going to Germany, and I tell you what, it's a fun card. Fun card to watch.
Yep.
And I think it's a good card. Not all cards are great for fantasy. This one is, and I see a correlation too, because people get, I think some people sort of think, well, if I pick the winner, I'm going to do okay. In fantasy MMA, no, you got to pick the winner, and they need to finish the fight as well. Either knock them out or submit them. And you got to do that 5 times, then you can win some good money. But in this instance, Cody, let's look at the main event here. Arlovski Barnett. You pick the winner. It's the same thing. Pick the winner in real life, pick the winner in DraftKings.
Yeah.
Latifi and Bader, same thing. You know, like, pick the winner, because whatever happens, you're going to want that winner. It's an interesting card from that standpoint. So let's start off with Barnett and Arlovski. Arlovski's found a second life, went on a 6-fight win streak. He's lost 2 in a row, but he lost over in Miosic, who are fighting for the championship, top 2 heavyweights in the world right now. Barnett coming off a loss for Rothwell. What stands out to me, Barnett's last 10 fights, only 2 have gone the distance. Arlovski's last 12 fights, only 2 have gone the distance. Something tells me this fight doesn't go the distance.
No, that's exactly it. $9,700 a piece as well. You're, like you said, you're going to take some of them. Whoever you think's going to win, that's the guy you're going to go with. In this case, I got to go with the War Master, Josh Barnett. It's not that he's younger, because he's actually a year older than Andre Arlovski. But when you think of Arlovski, it's always the same thing. That wear and tear in his chin, Gabe.
Yeah.
The guy's been knocked out 9-10 times. He's been around for a long time. He's been fighting since 1999. He got knocked out in 1999. So you got to think to yourself, how much does he really have left in the gas tank? And listen, losing to Stipe Miocic, losing to Alistair Overeem, that's not a problem. The problem is, you get knocked out in a minute against Stipe Miocic. You get knocked out in the first round against Alistair Overeem. Listen, it happens. But with Josh Barnett, this is a 25-minute long fight. And if you're going to give him 25 minutes to try to land that one kill shot, the War Master usually tends to do so. Just look what he did to Roy Nelson. If he does the same thing to Andre Arlovski will probably wake up in a hospital.
Gustafsson, Alexander Gustafsson returns to the octagon for the first time when it feels like forever since he lost to Daniel Cormier. Gustafsson's actually only 1-3 in his last 4 fights. fights. But like we're saying,
the best guys.
Yeah, lost Anthony. No, I didn't lose to Anthony Johnson. He got decapitated by Anthony Johnson. Lost to John Jones
in a war. Cormier, in a war.
And he beat Jimmy Manoa, who's a pretty good fighter. He's a big favorite here. It's going to cost you a lot of money. You're staying away from him, though, right?
Staying away. I mean, on the straight line, minus 750. I mean, you're always going to have that worry where you're like, geez, anything can happen. It is an MMA fight. And in this case, the most expensive guy, the thing with Jan Blachowicz is, I don't think he's going to go out there. I don't think he's going to beat Alexander Gustafsson. But
he's a hard guy to finish, Blachowicz. That's the thing.
He's a tough guy to put away. So when you look at the price, and as you mentioned, it's not who do you think is going to win the fight. It's who's going to win this in spectacular fashion and get himself a knockout. Can Gustafsson go out there and get a knockout? Maybe. But if you're going to pay that much money, Gabe, you need the first round knockout. And I'm not so sure. So this one, people love Gustafsson, especially on a European card. I feel like people will try to fit him on their team. Have him. I'm going to try to get somebody who will finish quicker, finish around the same time frame, but better value.
And you know what? Gustafsson will be heavily owned, for sure. All right, we got to be quick, and then we'll get to your team. Bader and Latifi, this is a fight as well. From a DraftKings perspective, whoever you think is going to win, well, I should know. Actually, I shouldn't really say that. If you think Latifi's going to win, take him.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bader's got five losses in the UFC. All five of them, he's been stopped. He's never lost a decision. So you're either going to submit him. I mean, hell, he got subbed by Tito Ortiz. You know what I mean? Like, he got subbed by Tito Ortiz. He's been knocked out as well. Bader is very hittable. Bader has heavy hands, but there's a better chance. If Bader wins, he wins via decision. If Latifi wins, he probably wins knockout. He's in your lineup. We've only got a minute left, so give us your lineup, Cody.
Well, if you only got a minute, let's go. Yargis Danho, they call him Man Mountain, Gabe. That certainly seems like the kind of guy that I would like to have on my team. 10,400, sign me up for some Man Mountain. Josh Barnett, as we talked about, $9,700, heavyweights be heavyweights. He's got a great possibility to finish. I like him for the price. Then we got Taylor Laplace, 10,000, Frenchman coming over from Haute Tension Paris. This guy, if he just gets his takedown defense good enough, and I think he will, he's going to take Easton in the late rounds. I see late stop for him. 10,000, I'm down to go with that. Ilir Latifi, $9,100. Gabe, you nailed it. If you think Latifi's going to win, which I do, you have to have this guy, which I do. And rounding that off, finally, Judo Jim Wallhead, $9,300. Do not sleep on this guy. He's got to fight against the hometown guy, but he's very good at putting away. In fact, ever since he fought your boy, Frank Trigg, in 2011, he's got seven wins, six by way of stoppage. I like him here.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks to Cody Saftick. Check him out on the Fight Network, Fantasy Sports Network. We're going to come back with some Major League Baseball plays of the day for you. All right, just a couple of more days before our plays of the day are generally all things football all the time. Full slate of college football on Thursday. Let's get to tonight's Major League Baseball picks. Toronto Blue Jays, man. These guys are red hot. Donaldson's killing it right now. I think he's a live dog to win the most valuable player at plus 800. Let's take Jay Happ minus the 55 cents tonight. Detroit Tigers. This team's been playing to the under recently. Norris has pitched really well, and the White Sox are terrible. I think the total's too high at 10. Marlins and Mets. Don't look now, man, but the Metropolitan. The Nye, my favorite squadron, the Nye Metropolitans. They're minus 125. I think they get it done tonight with Lugo on the hill. Parlay, we won it last night for you. We're going to do it again. Indians and Nationals tonight. Last night it was Indian Sox. Tonight, Indians Nationals plus 110. And the Texas Rangers get it done with Cole Hamels on the hill. On the night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.